Good evening. You're watching IRI English News. Thanks for joining us. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, says the education system needs a shake-up based on an Iran-Islamic independence and advanced paradigm. Addressing thousands of teachers, the leader said the education system should bring up pious, inventive, and risk-tolerant people who are able to venture into new fields. Ayatollah Khamenei said the current education system should be reconstructed as it does not match the needs of the Iranian nation and their culture. The leader said the Iranian nation has stood up against world powers and obtained great advancements, adding the current awakening in West Asia and North Africa is a continuation of the nation's movement under the leadership of the founding father of the Islamic Republic, the late Imam Khomeini. Ayatollah Khamenei then stressed the wave of awakening will surely hit the heart of Europe, where the people will rise against the subservience of their officials to American and Zionist cultural and economic policies. Tehran and Muscat enjoy constructive diplomatic ties thanks to vigilance of the two nations' officials. The remarks were made by visiting Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Salehi when he sat down for talks with Omani Sultan Qaboos bin Said. During the meeting, Salehi also referred to recent regional developments and said restoration of stability and security in the region, along with respect for independence and territorial integrity of regional countries, are of high significance in the current juncture. The top Iranian diplomat criticized the presence of foreign troops in Bahrain and said the demands of Bahraini people should be addressed democratically. The minister also urged closer consultations among Persian Gulf countries to thwart enemy plots. The Omani king in turn said his country is fully ready to cooperate with Iran on regional matters. Salehi also held separate talks with his Omani counterpart, Yusuf bin Alawi bin Abdullah, during which the two sides exchanged views on ways to broaden mutual relations. Palestinian factions signed a reconciliation deal in Cairo to end the divide between the West Bank and Gaza and hold elections in a year in an agreement the Zionist regime of Israel called a blow to peace. Representatives of 13 factions, including Fatah Party and the Islamic Resistance Movement Hamas, as well as independent political figures, signed a deal following talks with Egyptian officials. The Zionist regime's premier, Benjamin Netanyahu's call on the Palestinian Self-Rule Authority President Mahmoud Abbas to cancel the agreement was denounced as unacceptable interference by the head of Fatah's delegation. The factions will work on forming the new government after an official ceremony in Cairo on Wednesday. Meanwhile, hundreds of Gazans rallied in the streets to celebrate a national unity deal between Hamas and Fatah. A car bomb exploded not far from a headquarters belonging to Libya's revolutionaries in their eastern bastion of Benghazi, injuring two people. Doctors said two people have suffered superficial shrapnel injuries in the blast. The explosion sparked scenes of chaos as hundreds of men, many touching pistols or crushing cuffs, milled around and climbed on top of the twisted metal of the car wreck to chant slogans against Muammar Gaddafi. In Misrata, at least 5 people were killed as forces loyal to Gaddafi shelled the lifeline port of the city. The shelling comes as opposition fighters are doing what it takes to end the month-long siege of the Libyan major city. Misrata is battling shortages of first supplies, including medicine. Several dozen demonstrators gathered in Pakistan's largest city, Karachi, to protest against the U.S. propaganda machine on the killing of Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden. Chanting, "Obama, solve your own problems," the people rallied against U.S. troops crossing into Pakistan to carry out military operations. The protesters blamed the U.S. for taking advantage of the killing for covering its domestic political problems. The group later set the U.S. flag on fire as they were chanting anti-U.S. slogans. Also, on the international platform, there is criticism of the vast Western media coverage of the event as a cover-up for U.S. blunders in Afghanistan and Iraq.
I think in many ways the interesting thing about Osama bin Laden is he is actually more a creation of the West than he is, you know, a real political or kind of terrorist threat in himself. In many ways he kind of feeds vampire-like off the insecurities of the West. I think in many ways that's the most significant aspect of what we've seen over the last couple of days, which is this massively disproportionate reaction to the killing of bin Laden, as if it's like some historic turning point for humanity.
Energy Minister Majid Namjoo says Tehran and Ankara have finalized an energy roadmap aimed at promoting investment and cooperation between the two neighbors. The Iranian minister said the agreement will have a promising prospect for Iran-Turkey energy transactions, boosting the two countries' electricity transmission capacity from the current 500 megawatts to 1,000. Under the roadmap, joint investments will be made to build thermal and hydroelectric plants as well as wind farms. The agreement is also intended to bring about further cooperation in terms of renewable energies. The Turkish energy minister, for his part, said that the new roadmap would help create fresh investments for the benefit of both countries. And Iran and Iraq have agreed to carry out an air pollution control plan on some 1 million hectares of Iraqi lands, which are the source of dusty weather in the region. Deputy Director of Iran's Department of Environment, Ali Mohammad Shaeri, said after a meeting with Iraqi Environment Minister Lazar Silo in Baghdad that the two sides agreed on a 5-year anti-desertification program to be launched next month. According to Shaeri, the program includes planting shrubs, mulching, and flood water spreading. Shaeri said the Iraqi Environment Ministry accepted to fund the plan while Iran provides the engineering services and equipment needed for the program. The UN General Assembly adopted a resolution on the European Union with corrections made to the draft of the document as proposed by the Islamic Republic of Iran and a number of other countries. Under the resolution adopted by 192 Nation Assembly, the EU will now be able to address the Assembly through its permanent officials rather than the ambassador of the country holding its rotating presidency. The document was approved with 180 votes in favor and none against. Zimbabwe and Syria abstained, while 10 countries did not vote. The push for the largely symbolic status change was in line with the 2007 Lisbon Treaty.
We'll be right back.
And now turning to the world of sports, Iranian Taekwondokas are fighting for more medals in the World Taekwondo Championships one day after Farzad Abdullahi won Iran's first gold of the event. During the competition underway in South Korea, Mohammad Bagheri Motamed grabbed a silver medal for Iran as Alireza Nasr Azadani advanced to the fifth weight semifinals. In the first weight matches, Meysam Bagheri defeated rivals from Jordan, Armenia and Germany and moved to the semifinals. Taekwondokas from 149 countries are participating in the 20th edition of the competitions. Sepahan have stepped up to the next round at AFC Champions League after a 1-1 draw against Al Hilal from Saudi Arabia. Al Hilal took the lead in the match with an early second-half goal in the 46th minute, but Sepahan grabbed their equalizer only 8 minutes later. Muharram Navid Kia scored the equalizer in the 54th minute after moving past two Al Hilal defenders and bouncing the ball over the Saudi side keeper into the goal. The result raised Sepahan's points to 10 and secured them the Group 1 top spot, leaving Al Hilal in the second place with the same points and fewer scored goals. Now a look at some other stories in brief. A car bomb tore through a restaurant in Baghdad, killing at least 16 people. Nobody claimed responsibility for the attack, which targeted young people watching a football match. The attack also left 37 people wounded. Elsewhere in Karbala, double roadside bomb explosions struck a bus, killing 3 people and injuring 3 others. Earlier in the day, the police reported the killing of a policeman and government employee by gunmen using silenced weapons. 5 workers have been killed and 9 others trapped and feared dead after an explosion at a small coal mine in northern Mexico. Contact with miners has been lost since the explosion occurred late on Tuesday. Rescue workers have found 3 dead bodies and fear others are also dead unless they were trapped in a bucket with breathable air. Officials said the explosion off the northwest of Mexico's third largest city, Monterrey, was felt for miles around. French police arrested 138 Tunisian migrants on Wednesday, clearing out an illegal squat in Paris. About 250 riot police were deployed to evict the squatters, most of them Tunisians, who entered Europe a couple of months ago via Lampedusa, a tiny Italian island. According to charity groups, 400 to 500 Tunisians have arrived in France since a popular uprising in Tunisia led to the ouster of the former French colony's longtime ruler in January. At least 27 people were injured, including 4 seriously, in a rail accident in the eastern Indian state of Orissa in the wee hours. The mishap occurred when the express train in which the victims were traveling rammed into a coal-laden luggage train, which derailed and tilted on its tracks. Police said it has started an investigation into the collision. Road accident rate in India is among the highest in the world, with at least 100,000 people killed each year. A weather report is coming your way. Thanks for watching. Until we meet again, goodbye.